BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sunday Morello.
Hey, this is Gaines from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
And every time that I look at you, I can't help but see my own deranged reflection glaring back at me. We both are victims of a system that makes men torture. Things that would make others cringe and grimace excite people like you and me.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now. You made your deal with the devil, boy. And believe me, you should be scared. You should be very scared.
What happens next? What happens next? You tell me!
I'm gonna take care of you the way I'd take care of any other snake. The way you take care of a snake is you skin them.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
When it's all said and done, and your body is set on fire, it will truly be the beginning of your eternal damnation.
We're here.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
I remember doing the time war, drinking those moments when the black mist would hit me and the voice would be calling.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio. I am, of course, the host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, I am here. I'm ready to go because it's the time warp, the spooktacular.
That's right. It's that time of year, my favorite holiday. I don't know about yours, but it's Halloween, y'all. At least tomorrow.
In about 2 hours from now, yeah, it'll be Halloween. It's All Hallows Eve right now, though.
Which means Saturday is Half Price Candy Day. Score!
One of the best days of said year.
It's the start of the holiday season with all the goodies and treats and bad-for-you stuff. It's amazing.
Sugar.
Oh, the sugar. Oh, the incoming sugar and good food and jolly good times to come. Yes. Yes, it is that time of year.
Oh, sugar.
But we have a lot of good stuff for y'all tonight. We've got news, we've got notes, we're talking about last Sunday's Hell in a Cell. I know I got a treat at the show. I don't think anybody else did, but I liked it.
And I liked it, as I was trying to be the lone voice on Wrestle Talk Radio saying, yeah, I liked this show and liked the ending. And they missed the field goal. But yeah, we have that to get into. And I like the intro tonight where it's like, Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, what happens if they feud it? Oh, yeah.
And it's a feud everybody wants, and we're never going to get
it. We'll never, ever get it, but, you know.
Well, I say, you know what? We start with the news, but before we get there, because I can't forget it, we have our question of the night, because we actually have one this week.
Yeah, we have a question of the night. So what is it?
It's, well, if you could take one wrestler trick-or-treating for on Halloween, who would it be?
So I've been thinking about this question, and I haven't figured out quite an answer. I have a couple ideas who I would want, so we'll talk about that later. We have some interesting responses as well, so we'll get into those here in a bit.
Aw, they're holding hands. Aw.
Kumbaya.
Now march the ball downfield and score a touchdown. Please, Louisville. By the way, in case anybody is wondering, Louisville is playing Florida State and somehow they're winning right now. We're still trying to figure that one out. Not entirely sure how they're doing that, but they're doing their best to. Thank you for giving us the first down. As a Florida State player, just knocked a Louisville player across the line to give us a first down. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You take any yardage you can get it, apparently. So we're not picky.
You know, if it moves the ball down the field,
it moves the ball down the field, then yeah, that's awesome. And for those with the pro game, it's the Panthers and Saints currently on the NFL Network as we speak.
And who's winning that game?
I'm waiting for the replay to finish. It is 14-0 Saints.
Oh, gee, there's a shocker. For those wondering, it is 24-21 Louisville.
So these are your scores brought to you by youtube.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe to our YouTube channel today.
There you go. So now we're going to jump into the news brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And I think we have to start with the biggest news of the week. And no, it's not the Undertaker at NXT, that we'll get to that.
We'll get there. We're going to behave, and then we'll get to it.
Yeah, because it just brought up all kinds of
stuff.
Your headcanons, yeah. And that is that WWE had their Q3 call this week, actually today, and some facts and figures got announced, including stuff about the network, and actually most of it was about the network. They released their numbers this morning.
Well, all right. Before we'll get to the numbers. Yeah, we'll start with the numbers because then I'll read the email I got. The top email I had this morning when I woke up. But first, WWE announced today that WWE Network currently has 731,000 subscribers. That's an addition of 31 subscribers for the third quarter, or roughly 4%. They noted there's about 30,000 international subscribers since opening these to the countries, you know, over the summer. Subscriber growth reflected the acquisition of 286,000 subscribers, which was 71% above the gross subscriber additions in the period between April 7th, WrestleMania, and June 30th. WWE Network has attracted approximately 971,000 unique subscribers, and set with 75% of these subscribers active as of that date, which was October 1st. So all these numbers are for the beginning of October.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's the first little bit on it, is they're only at 731,000,
which is a little surprising, I think, for a lot of people. With them opening it up worldwide, even though it is only in English, which is probably some of the hindrance, is that it is in English. I imagine the subscription numbers will go up when they get the country-specific models going.
That was one of the things they were sort of roundabout saying they would hope would happen once they get the other versions available.
Yeah. I'm sure they were hoping that a lot more people would download and just kind of deal with the language barrier, but obviously a lot of people are going to wait and save their money for the country-specific model, which I would understand. I mean, if they released it, you know, WWE was based in Germany and released the whole thing in German, I would buy it in German, especially if I could wait another, you know, 6 to 8 months and get it in English.
And it also shows to people, basically, that the international market is not as heavy, and also maybe some of these international people already had this network via other means.
Yes, that's another thing to consider. People have figured out a way to get the network overseas without having it in their home country. So part of the existing numbers could be international users that have hacked the system.
Right, yeah, and one of the things that came out of it, we mentioned a couple months ago after the last conference call, that WWE announced that they would be doing a $12.99 per month fee, mm-hmm. where you just sign up for 1 month, and that gained them 23,000 subscribers. So, at least 23,000 people tried it for at least a month, which is interesting. That they wouldn't commit, but they would try it out at least for 1 month. A certain pay-per-view, maybe SummerSlam, got them interested and they wanted to see it for a cheaper price. Instead of paying the $60, they paid $12.99. Saw like SummerSlam and went, okay, this is what I want to see. Now I don't need to go do it just yet. or at least I didn't want to commit to watching the WWE Network for 6 months, so I'm going to do it one time only. Which was an interesting topic of discussion today, because, well, that $12.99 price point is no more.
Nope, in fact, the whole 6 month subscription is no more. WWE sent out an email to all its current subscribers saying that the 6 month commitment has been disbanded and now you can just pay $9.99 per month and you can cancel at any time for the network, which I think is going to help them in the short term, because now you can have people who just want to pay $9.99 for the pay-per-view, pop on, buy it for a month, watch the pay-per-view. And then maybe they just keep doing that until they decide to stop.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens there.
I mean, it could potentially help them in the long run. It may not. It's just this is a curious thing that they're doing. It's kind of a step. I'm not sure in the negative territory if they're getting rid of the 6 month subscriptions.
Apparently, some of the big questions were the subscription length. For some users, they were worried, they didn't want to commit that long term, because when you look at Netflix and you look at Hulu and other services like that, they don't have you commit for that long of a period.
No.
You go month by month by month. And while that works out, could work out for WWE, where the people just let it, again, another thing of just letting it roll over, it still could work in that direction. But it opens up the point of, since they saw that people were paying for $12.99 for one term pay-per-view or one term month, this will maybe allow more people to chime in. And I think we're getting to a point where the subscriber number as a whole won't be as important for current like a current accurate number. I think we're going to get to a point where the unique number becomes a big factor in their model, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because at this point, because you're taking it off sort of a commitment basis, a subscriber commitment basis, mm-hmm. It's people can pop on and pop off whenever they like. So, like I was saying, if you want to pay $9.99 for one pay-per-view, but you don't want to pay it for another, and you can just kind of alternate and off. As long as WWE is getting that $9.99 a month, whenever you pop on, that just goes towards their bottom line. And there may be more people that start doing that as opposed to going for the 6 month commitment. Because like you said, there are some people who just don't want to pay that kind of money for, you know, just a pay-per-view, especially if you're not interested in all the shows. Like, you may want to buy it for just the big four, or you may have just wanted to buy it for Hell in a Cell, but you don't want to necessarily see the next coming pay-per-views. You know, you may not want to watch again until the Royal Rumble.
Right, you're not interested in Battleground. And one of the things that does is, and one of the things that sort of happened was WWE took a little bit of a focus off the pay-per-views in the last few months, where it's like, okay, SummerSlam was key, but everything else just sort of fell into place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That they were just sort of there. Now with this, they have times where they have, now they have to go, once again, go back to making sure pay-per-views are a focus. Again, we're watching Florida State and Louisville play on ESPN, so if you want to follow along, mute ESPN and follow along and listen to the show. It's just one of those things where pay-per-views will begin to come important, and they'll have to make it an incentive to purchase a pay-per-views, and if there's a hot main event, people will go right out and buy it, and they won't have to pay $59.99 for the pay-per-view. They only have to pay the price of $9.99, which, by the way, they're pigeonholed into the price of $9.99 for a very long time. They've even mentioned that in interviews and such, where I think
And there goes the lead.
Yeah, there goes the lead. There's a point where they thought they could raise the price at some point, and many people figured in 2015 they would raise the price, but they can't do that because they've made $9.99 a premier focus of the marketing behind this network.
Right, but again, $9.99 versus $59.99 for pay-per-view, and now there is no commitment for that pay-per-view, I think that is going to be much more attractive to people, because I think that was holding a lot of people off, was the commitment to it. And now that you don't have to, that's going to open up, I think, a few more doors for them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of pay-per-views, Money in the Bank did 99,000 buys, down from 199 in 2013. But again, that was before the network. SummerSlam did 147 on pay-per-view, down from 298. And 48,000 for Night of Champions, down from 175. Again, WWE Network, you know, wasn't around last year, so people were actually buying it. And the 48,000, I believe, Sky Sports aired it for free. So there's some international buys that aren't available for that one, since it aired in the UK for free, I believe.
Right.
A couple of little notes around it. They mentioned, which is, here's an interesting thing. The viewer data continued to indicate, on average, close to 90% of subscribers access the WWE Network at least once per week. And 99% access the WWE Network at least once per month. So, it seems, whether you have 700,000, say, let's go, we'll go with the 731 number. 99% of those people are at least checking out the network at least once a month, which means there's probably more eyeballs on the pay-per-views.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Which means, again, 90% of the people are watching it on at least once a week. That you probably raise your hand on that one because of NXT and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And same here. And it's like, okay, 90% are still watching the programming, the live feed, which is the most popular feature on the network. And everyone's at least checking out the pay-per-views, which means people are buying it. So the majority, we'll go off, say 75% of the number. So basically, let's say 500,000 people are checking out the pay-per-views on average. That's a lot more than they would get for the, again, I'll go off the last year's number, 199, 298, 175. So you're already, you have a larger audience for your special pay-per-view events than you did a year ago, which is great. So I, in that sense, it's positive. You know?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100%.
But, all right. Here's my one issue, and it's been bugging me all day, so we'll talk about part of hashtag free, 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 November is free to new subscribers.
That's an interesting marketing ploy. So the whole month is free?
For all new subscribers, no commitment. Basically, like Netflix allows you to get the free month, you get the whole month, including Survivor Series, for free. You go to www.com starting tomorrow to find out more details. I don't know if I like that. I mean, I do, but I don't. It feels like, as a subscriber, I feel like I'm getting shortchanged a little bit.
A little bit, but they did that tactic to get everybody to sign up initially, where it was at first a week, and then now they're extending it out to a month. I mean, they're getting into that more long-term marketing campaign where they've launched in the first year, and they've gotten a core number of subscribers. They're able to hold that core number, and they're continuing to increase, so it's not as much of a rapid pace as it was. So now it's, okay, well, we're going to adjust some things in the model to see if we can help boost our numbers a little bit and help get it up to kind of where we want it to be and where everybody kind of expects it to be, which is right around the million mark. I think that's what would make everybody really happy, is if it was right around a million subscribers.
And with the unique subscribers, they got very close.
Oh, I agree. They did get very close. But
they never retained the audience.
No, but they do. What's interesting is they do have their core audience.
And I think at this time, I think they need to focus on the core audience instead of trying to bring in new subscribers.
How did you catch that one?
Instead of worrying about new subscribers, I think they need to focus more on providing content for the people paying currently for the network. I mean, we're getting getting new shows. WWE Rivalries debuted on Tuesday, and it was all right. It was really good. But the problem with it was, I know about Steve Austin versus McMahon. Like, I know that's the idea of doing the bigger feuds and stuff, and there's some you probably want to see, but it just seemed very too close together, because they just showed the WWE Monday Night War with Steve Austin, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, so it seemed very close to the same sort of story they were telling. I mean, they had different things, and something you need to check out at some point.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Hold on. They had Kane in a suit. Glenn Jacobs Kane, former Rat guest, talking in the rivalry special. It looked awkward and weird.
I love the man, but he looks awkward and weird as Kane in a suit. You can tell he's kind of awkward in a suit as Kane, because he's, like, even he's sitting there, he's like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah. He puts on a smile. It just looks, it looks very weird during the thing. But yeah, it's one of those, they should focus more on some content from Pete Buss, give us some of the content they were talking about. And they're slowly working it in, and it's just like, and their idea is to get more content, and hopefully that would drive in more subscribers. And again, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, that will be the big major points where people go, I want to see this, I want to see this, I want to see this. I don't know. The idea of a free month is just, I don't know.
I think a month is a bit too excessive. I wouldn't mind them doing the week again just to pull people in, but they're trying to compete with services like Netflix at this point. And so they're trying to do something on par. Get it in. Go. Damn it. So close.
But if it's just for November and it's Survivor Series and if it's just this 1 month, I'm okay. Like, I don't want this to become a thing. I don't want them to go in February with the new pay-per-view, which we're going into in a second. That become another free month. If this is the only free month, I'm okay with it.
They'll do it periodically, but I don't think it's going to be as regular. I mean, they'll do like a week or a month, or they'll keep doing promotional things to draw people in, because obviously that's what you want to do, is you want to draw people in. Where the hell is the football?
Not in the end zone.
It's under the pile of bodies somewhere. There it is. So, yeah, it's just, we'll have to see where they go from here, but at least positive news coming out of the call. Not much else came out beyond the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is moving.
Oh, before we get to that, there's one other thing that they talked about.
I try to transition and he interrupts me. What?
I just read it on the format. WWE also announced the company plans to roll out a new resume play and watch list features.
Yes!
across the WWE media platforms. Network media platforms by the end of December. So they're going to work on the player a little bit, another resume play type thing, and a watch list. So that's cool. Little changes. I hope they go around and hopefully fix the fast forward and rewind on the web browser version of the network, because that needs work.
Yeah, there are some features that they could concentrate on to make it better in terms of the user interface. That would definitely help. It's okay on mobile. It works fine on mobile.
And it works great on the Xbox. That rewinding and fast forwarding works great on there. And the resume feature works great on there as well. Or at least it used to. I don't know I haven't tried it on the Xbox One yet. But it actually gives you points where you can skip ahead to certain parts of a show. Which was interesting. I was going through Bad Blood the other day, last week, talking about Hell in a Cell. Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and there was this like long stretch of what happened, and I was like, oh, there was a match there. Oh, I now know why they skipped over promoting that one on the little thingy. Because they had every match, you could skip right to each match and the finish of every match, which I thought was cool. But they skipped over you, who the name we shall not mention.
Yeah, you want to talk about that.
But he fought a Rat Guest Kane in that match. Saying Rack, I guess, Kane, it's always a good thing.
It's such an awesome thing that we did that, but anyway, we're not going to get over that for a while. Y'all are just going to have to deal with that.
You have to deal with that one. Anyway, you were mentioning something about pay-per-views and moving.
That's right. It seems Elimination Chamber is being booted out of its spot in February. Thank God.
What?
And being moved into the summer, either June or July, as a potential setup for SummerSlam, which I think is a much, much better use of it than where it was.
With one world title now and the Royal Rumble, at the end of the Royal Rumble, we'll know the main event of WrestleMania.
We will.
You're not going to stick the WWE champion in the match for Elimination Chamber, so it's like, okay. Don't need a crown on number one contender. Makes sense to move it. And they're going to be putting an event called WWE Fastlane in February.
Interesting.
But I like the idea, because I think the idea is for Elimination Chamber to set up, either in June or July, set up the number one contender for SummerSlam. That might be the idea.
And yeah, I like that.
They may do it Money in the Bank, Elimination Chamber, SummerSlam. So you have the guy with Money in the Bank briefcase. You have Elimination Chamber. And then, you know, there's all the little things you can go from there. It's a better position there. It's much better. It was always awkward setting up WrestleMania times, but sometimes it worked. Sometimes it came very too predictable. So now it'll be very unpredictable, which is good, and it may drive more people to watch the show.
Here's to hoping.
Because it became a show where it's like, I know what's going to happen.
Right. You kind of know where this is going to go, kind of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So it's cool moving it. That works. We'll see what they do with Fastlane and what they come up with.
Absolutely. And speaking of not knowing where it's going, it seems that WWE has pulled 100 DVDs from the shelves. Could there be a new DVD deal in the works?
DVDs like the new Paul Heyman one.
Mm-hmm.
Was pulled, and a few others, over 100 of them. They pulled a bunch of them. Not the new ones, but a lot of the older ones and some of the recent releases, but not like the Kane one or whatever, Erskine one. But a few of them. Because there's the talk, they may be coming up with a new distribution deal, if I can, you know, talk like Lindsay.
Haha.
I get tongue-tied and start to talk. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, they're pulling DVDs for now, and they'll probably be back out end of the year, early next year. Just so the new publisher can, you know, release the DVDs. This is all unconfirmed, but that seems to sort of be the plan, unless there was a glitch or something, but it seems like that's the idea right now.
Right. So we'll have to see what happens with that, so we'll keep you guys up to date on that. And speaking of keeping you up to date on things, well, we have to talk about really kind of the second biggest story of the week. And it involves a certain dead man. And how it sort of came out that he's going to be transitioning from possibly an in-ring role to an out-of-ring role as an advisor for NXT.
The schedule's all up in the air to him, but he was down to NXT at the last set of TV tapings, you know, advising some talent, and basically sort of giving them some advice on directions and how to, you know, the proper, I believe the term was proper etiquette. WWE.
Pinkies out, boys. Pinkies out. I'm going to have so much fun with this. We're never going to get a guest again, but I'm going to have so much fun with this. Yeah, he's there to basically teach them their manners in the locker room and how to conduct themselves properly so they know the right way to handle themselves when they get up on the main roster. He's also probably there to give them friendly advice and tips and tricks on wrestling and that kind of thing as well. But I just got the biggest kick out of this ever when I found out. I'm now calling him Mark Manners. I'm not even lying on that. And all I could picture is for anybody who's ever watched it, which is probably none of our audience. Well, I don't want to be mean like that, but some of our audience. If you've ever watched A League of Their Own, there's a scene in the movie where they send all the women baseball players to charm school, mm-hmm. where they have to learn etiquette and makeup and hair tips and the works. And I just picture Taker now as the instructor of the charm school going, gracefully, grandly, gracefully, grandly, complete with hand motions. Going to be epic.
Oh,
sitcom of this.
Uh-huh. And legit, two of us sat here in different locations laughing
for 20 minutes
straight.
At work. Sitting at work at my desk giggling for like 20 minutes. And everybody was looking at me like I was insane. I'm like, just don't mind me. I just lost it. I'll be over here.
Yeah, and Pinky's out, everybody. Pinky's out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you so much, Taker, for that.
Mark Manners.
Mark Manners. Trademark it, y'all. Trademark it.
The Rock exclusive, Mark Manners.
Yep.
We want credit for it.
If it happens, I want credit, or else I'm calling Morella. And he catches it out of bounds. Yay!
Keep hobbling, Jameson. Keep hobbling.
I think you're too hurt, dude. You need to come out. Somebody get the spare. Somebody get the spare, man.
So yeah.
Hey, you know what? We are 8 minutes away from winning this game.
No kidding.
We managed to pull this off. We're not gonna. But if we manage to beat Florida State, holy crap. They're not getting killed nearly as much as I thought this would be. This is actually their winning, which is shocking.
So we mentioned talking about the DVDs earlier, and we mentioned a few weeks ago about Randy Orton and his up in the air status with WWE. Well, he's going to be taking a few weeks off.
Is he now?
He has a new movie role.
Oh, does he?
After the blockbuster success of The Condemned with Stone Cold Steve Austin, WWE announced that Randy Orton will star in The Condemned 2, a film that will be co-produced by WWE Studios and Lionsgate. The same role, Renee will serve as director. I'll begin in New Mexico later this year. So that's cool. Randy Orton's in a movie.
Well, it looks like he'll be getting the time off he's been asking for, which is always good.
I don't think he wanted that sort of time off. I think he just wanted time off.
Beggars can't be choosers, man.
Take what you can get. So he's going to return to the big screen and or the DVD screen or whatever it is with The Condemned 2 with WWE Studios.
Well, speaking of the small screen, Randy Orton isn't the only one that's returning to it. Seems that Mick Foley is also returning to the small screen as his one-man show is being filmed on November 23rd at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. So if you want to get on TV with Mick Foley, here's your chance. They're going to be filming his stage show, his comedy act, for, you know, his Christmas show in December. Or no. Wait, he's coming to Atlanta?
Yeah.
I may have to get tickets to that.
Yeah, they're filming one. It's going to be for TV. So that's kind of cool. No TV distributor has been announced, but he's going to get a film, and you know we'll eventually see it on TV, which is something he's been working towards as he's been sacked.
That was a nice sack.
But yeah, Mick Foley is coming to your town, to Providence, Rhode Island, Marietta, Cincinnati. Nashville, Memphis, Rome, Atlanta, Peoria, and Rosemont, Illinois later this month. For tickets, go to realmickfoley.com/events. But yeah, go out and see Mick Foley as he films a TV special.
Yes. And I have no transition for this. It's awkward. So we're just going to talk about that. Well, WWE has applied for a trademark for Kevin Owens, and it's being speculated that this is going to be the ring name for one Kevin Steen when he debuts in NXT.
A couple tidbits on that. His son is named Owen, which was named after Owen Hart.
There's your Hart reference for the night.
There's your Hart reference for the night. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Hey, it's not a bad name. Kevin Owens, that works.
I'm okay with that.
It's you still could call him Kevin, and it works. It's a good name for him. So there you go. We should send out congratulations, because there was a big championship victory last night.
Oh, was there?
Yes. As I put this out on Twitter, what was the big... I'll ask you the question. What was the bigger championship victory? The San Francisco Giants winning the World Series, or Bobby Roode winning the TNA Heavyweight Championship of the World?
Do you want me to be completely brutally honest on that? San Fran.
Yeah, yeah. Though I did get one response. Bobby Roode.
You know, I'm so happy Bobby won the title. He deserves it. He's worked his butt off. He will represent them well. But yeah, San Fran winning in 7 games.
Dramatically,
I might add. Yeah, no offense to Bobby. This is, I think, their first win, isn't it, in the World Series?
This is their third in 5 years.
Third in 5 years? Okay. You can tell how hard I follow baseball.
I know. If it's not the Braves, you don't care. If it's
yeah,
not the
pretty much up until postseason, after postseason starts, don't care because the Braves haven't made it to postseason in a while.
If it's not,
and they never make it to the World Series, so, you know.
If it's not the Braves or taking a shot at my Phillies, she don't care.
Hey, at least we managed to beat the Phillies a couple times.
I'm just going to let that. The big story that I started was Madison Bumgarner, who pitched a complete game shutout in Game 5 and came in and pitched 4 innings of shutout relief. The game got so dramatic that in the bottom of the ninth, with like 2 outs to go, the dude gives up a hit, the first hit since the first guy he faced in like the 5th inning. And the dude boots the ball to the back of all the way into the end of the outfield, had to go chase it down, and the guy ended up getting it to 3rd base. I was like, wait, this game's not over. And it was like such a routine ball. It dropped like 3 feet in front of him. All he had to do was stand in front of it and pick it up. And he just booted the ball.
He had a mad at the ball.
And it just sort of happened. And he picked it up, and another dude ran it down, chased it, and he bobbled it too. And it was like, wow, this is just insane. Like, they wanted the Royals to win. It was like the first time the home team in Game 7 has won 9 straight World Series until last night. So it was very, very dramatic.
So, I'll say.
So there you go. So that's the big news. Congratulations to Bobby Roode for winning the Heavyweight Championship of the World for TNA Wrestling. Thanks to TNAAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, for that information right there. And check out more information about TNA and what's to come with them at TNAAsylum.com. Again, the haven for TNA fans.
Yes, and we also need to send out our condolences. It seems that longtime famed wrestling promoter Bob Gooley has passed away, so condolences to his friends and his family and everybody that's saying goodbye to him this evening. It's, I think, a huge loss to the wrestling community.
Yes, it is. And there's a hashtag that needs to be applied there, just saying.
What hashtag?
Blame Rob.
Of course. Which you can hear all about
Saturday night, midnight-ish on CB Radio.
There you go. There's your cheap plug.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, I think that's it for the news.
It is. And later on in the show, who do you want to go? What wrestler do you want to go trick-or-treating with? I'll give you the answers later in the show.
Absolutely. So, on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT. What happened? Did anybody debut? We'll have to tell you, and you're just going to have to listen to find out. You're listening.
Hold on. You can say it was a thriller of an episode.
Ba-dum chang. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Dark. Under the moon, The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It gets weirder and weirder. Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing up the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here. That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe.
Oh, Gundam style.
Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com. That's right. If you're just joining us, you're tuning in for the Halloween Spooktacular, which beyond the movie or beyond the music's really not that much spookier.
Ooh, ha ha ha.
There you go. There's your sound effects. So, like I said, if you're just joining us, you missed all the news from this past week, including the WWE subscription numbers. So you definitely want to go back and hear that if you want to listen to us talk about it. But now we're going to jump right into tonight's thrilling NXT.
Before we jump into it, it's 35-31.
Yes. FSU scored a touchdown in the break. Louisville has 31-15 to march down the field.
31-15?
Or 3-15. I'm being hopeful here.
31-15, that would be a lot of time.
Yeah, but they have 3 minutes 15 seconds to march downfield. They're on second down. And they're maybe going to get it.
About 2 yards shy of a first down. So she talked about the thrilling edition of NXT, which featured many, many different things. But it started off with a WWE.com exclusive, where basically the question was asked, what about, why can't you win the big one, Sami Zayn?
I don't think it's so much that I can't win the big one. So much as it is that I have, you know, admittedly lost a couple of big ones, but that's in the past. You know, that's behind me. I'm refocused now. And my focus is on this road to redemption. That road to redemption ends with Adrian Neville and the NXT Championship.
Oh! Sammy. You're on a road to redemption. Is that road consists of planes, trains, or automobiles? Because in order to get to Adrian Neville, you got to go through me. And you haven't beaten me.
So what is this? Is this a challenge?
I'm not one for challenges, but I like to probably call this more of a open invitation.
Open invitation. This is what I deal with. There's another roadblock on that road to redemption, but that's okay, because I'm going to run right through it.
Say it.
Well, crap.
Right off his fingers.
Yep. And that's probably the ball game unless they can pick another one.
Well, they got 3 timeouts. If they can play some good defense, they can get the ball back.
Probably, yeah.
So, nice way to start off the show. A little quick promo by Sami Zayn and sets up our main event for the evening. Sami Zayn and Titus O'Neil matchup we just saw a couple weeks ago on the show.
Yep, so can Sami win the big one? We'll have to see.
So we open tonight's show with a tag team battle royal featuring Murphy and Blake, Jordan and Dillinger, Cass and Enzo, the Vaude Villains, and the Ascension. With the winner becoming the number one contender for the NXT Tag Team Championship.
I'm very happy with the outcome of this. I'm just going to say that up front. I'm very happy with how this turned out.
So the announcers posed this question: Are you concerned that the weak link of the team if you get eliminated? Are you considered the weak link, I should say, of the team if you get eliminated, if I could read my own notes. Which is an interesting thing, because if you get eliminated, your whole team gets eliminated. The first two teams eliminated were Jordan Dillinger and Murphy and Blake, and they were eliminated at the same time by the Ascension. And then we had a square off between the Ascension and Big Cass and Enzo, which was, Enzo and Cass held their own for a little while against the Ascension, but eventually the Ascension threw Cass, Enzo into Cass, eliminating Cass and, you know, Enzo at the same time, which then brought out Hideo Itami. He showed up. He was out on the stage, basically distracting the Ascension, allowing the Vaudevillains to dump the Ascension to the outside, which means the new number one contenders are the Vaudevillains.
Very happy about this. Very, very, very supremely happy about this. Just, yay!
Fun little battle royal. They gave us some time. It was a solid battle royal. It was a nice change of pace. We don't get to see battle royals in NXT at all, so it was nice and different. It was fresh.
It was. It was nice to see that it didn't go right back to the Ascension, so we're going to get a fresh feud between the Vaudevillains and the Lucha Dragons, and I'm very eager to see that match and see how Gotch and English do against them. And I liked how you had Itami get a little bit of payback on the Ascension. Of course, you know, he got beat up for his trouble, but it was still cool to see him kind of come out and get that measure of revenge.
Yeah, he did. He came out and attacked them, but the numbers caught up to him, and they double powerbombed Hideo, laying him out, again telling him to go back, well, basically back where he belonged. And here's exactly what they had to say.
We don't want you here at NXT. Go back home to Japan where you belong. If not, we'll send you back to Japan ourselves in a box.
Talk about a threat right there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Somebody's getting serious.
So, yeah. So, again, the feud continues there. Many people have been wondering, have they been sort of weakening Hideo with all this? What do you think?
A little bit, but I think you have to make him look weak just a touch against the Ascension, because it is 2-on-1. I mean, I know Hideo is amazing, and they're still kind of trying to work things out with him and iron out all the kinks, so I completely understand that. And so by weakening him a little bit, especially with who's coming next week, that will only help him. And that's the game right there. Yep. And they're done.
Damn it, Louisville, you had one job.
Hey, you know what? The fact that they held their own and they had the lead for most of this game, I'm okay with this. I knew they were going to lose.
She did send the message to me. They're going to get killed in the second half. And well,
I know how they play. 30. That's the thing. I know how they play. They for whatever reason, they stop playing, especially if they have a big lead in the first half. They blow it in the second, and they have a hard time after that.
So 31 points later, 34 points later in the, or 35 points later, I should say, in the second half.
Yep. So it's now 42-31 FSU, but I will say this, Louisville has looked pretty damn impressive this game.
Yeah, they have, but again, defense failed them in the end.
Defense is probably just tired.
Well, that's, I mean, it.
FSU is not NC State. I'm just going to say that up front. They're the number two team in the country for a reason, and they've got a very, very good offense.
Yeah.
If anybody's defense has failed them tonight, FSU's defense has failed them. Because Louisville should not have gotten as many points as they have. Not with our offense. Granted, most of those were because we had interceptions. But still, when we did have the ball and we were able to capitalize on it, defense never should have let them.
Yeah. Once again, the play-by-play is brought to you by youtube.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe to our YouTube channel today.
Ding! But anyway, back to NXT. I think it's, you know, it's necessary, like I said, to weaken Hideo a little bit, because next week they're obviously going to bring in his knight in shining armor to help him battle the Ascension, and then they will make him look stronger once he has help. Because, you know, you kind of want him to be the underdog. You want to root for him. You want to, you know, see him overcome. And when he finally does, it'll just be a really great moment and just help him all the way around. Plus, they're sort of stalling. They're buying themselves time as well right now. And it doesn't, you know, really do them any good for the feud if they have Hideo kicking the Ascension's ass every week, you know?
I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that one. Our next contest of the evening, Carmella took on Emma.
This is a pretty good match.
It was a solid match. It showed a lot of Carmella's weaknesses in this one.
She does need help, I will say this. She needs a lot of help, but she did pretty well, all things considered. There's definitely some talent there.
They asked Jason Albert, because he gets very excited when Emma shows up and when Bayley shows up, if he had to choose, who would he choose, Emma or Bayley? Because he likes the bubbles and then he likes the hugs, and he was really undecided.
He couldn't pick. He likes them both.
I think we would go side with Bayley. I'm just putting that one out there.
Bayley's adorable.
And if you don't follow her on Instagram or your Twitter, yeah, you should. Because she posted a picture of her and Lana earlier today.
Which was adorable.
It really was. So the match started with both women going back and forth. Carmella going for a quick roll-up. Carmella dropped down and then did so to Emma. So they were going back and forth. They were both next to each other on the ground, confused. Carmella and Emma then put a headlock on. After reversing, Carmella reversed by pulling the hair. Emma with a nice kick to the outside. To Carmella. Emma charged in, but Carmella dropped her in the bottom turnbuckle. Carmella was checking her nails while she was choking her on the rope, which led Jason Hopper to go with the question, are they real, Renee?
I had to shake my head at that. It's like, of all the stupid things to ask, it's like, really, you're going to ask if her nails are real? Like, what the hell, dude?
Well, you know, you got to ask if they're real or fake. Always the big question on people's minds.
She's a wrestler. Of course her nails are fake. Lord.
Carmella worked over with the leg scissors on Emma. She also checked Emma's nail. Thought they were disgusting. Emma was a bridge back into a pin, which was nice, but Carmella kept the leg scissors locked in. She did another pin, but continued to lock in the leg scissors. Emma finally fought out of it by slamming her down to the mat. Emma came back with back elbow, catches Carmella with a kick, and shoved her down. Clotheslines by Emma, locked her into ropes. Then hit the Emma sandwich for a two count. When he locked her in the ropes, it was the tarantula. I forget what they call it for her, but... It's not the Emma lock, it's not the Emma sandwich.
Dilemma.
The dilemma, that's it. Because the announcers didn't say what it was. I was like, what do they call it? It was, dilemma, that's it. She hit the Emma sandwich for a two count. Emma then tries to go for the Emma lock. Carmella locked in her leg scissors around the neck for the win. Your winner is Carmella.
Yeah, she definitely needs work. But, like I said, there is talent there.
There's talent, there's raw talent there, but yeah, she needs a lot of work.
Yeah, okay, UFSU people, you may want to get out to your car, now. Just saying.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
And he throws an interception, folks. There's the game right there.
42-31 will be your final. And if you ever need some money, you always look in your couch, right? Always spare change in your couch. Okay. At least I'm not nuts by saying that. You look, when somebody asks a question, look in your couch for some money. You know, it would be there. Anyway, Justin Gabriel Bull Dempsey is our next contest, or I should say Wyatt Lovechild was in action. Gabriel strikes with a couple kicks before getting caught. Bull then took control with shots in the corner. Gabriel fights back, goes for a crucifix pin and a sunset flip, but then got slammed in the mat. It takes boots and elbows from Bull. Gabriel tries to fight back, but gets knocked down with a big sidewalk slam for a two count. And then Bull mounts him and lays in right hand. Bull locks in the chokehold, with the crowd finally getting behind Gabriel, which made me wonder, didn't he turn heel about 6 weeks ago?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, just with Tyson Kidd? Yeah. Just wanted to point that one out. Bull sent him to the ropes. Gabriel counters with a reverse DDT and a springboard moonsault for a two count. Gabriel counters into a reverse. Gabriel with kicks to the back of Bull. Gabriel comes off the middle rope, went for a DDT, caught, and Justin just backdrops him off of him. Dempsey then runs over him, basically just really steamrolled over him, heads to the top rope and connects with the flying headbutt for the win. Bull Dempsey is your winner. I don't like the headbutt as his finish.
I just don't like him. I'm sorry, I tried to give him a chance, but I just really don't.
Not a big fan of White Taz?
I'm not a big fan of the White Lovechild, no. I think you could do more with him, I just don't know what. Because I think just like this, it doesn't connect, it doesn't work.
No, I don't, I'm with you.
He's just, there's nothing interesting about him. There's nothing that makes you go, ooh, yay, Bull Dempsey. You know, for whatever reason, it's not like Baron Corbin, who, there's just something, Baron Corbin has a certain X factor. Bull Dempsey doesn't have that, and they need to figure out a way to see if he actually does have it, and if they can bring that out of him.
Right, and it just looks, again, looks awkward for him to be a powerful steamroller and then goes to the top rope for a headbutt. It sort of came out of the Bam Bam Bigelow playbook, but I don't know. I don't think he has that type of talent.
Yeah, it's not working for me.
So, Bull Dempsey is your winner. Coming up in a few moments, it will be Marcus Louis versus Sylvester LaForte. But first, what happened out there with Bailey, Becky?
My friends have turned on me before, but I never expected Becky Lynch to do what she did. Sasha Banks has brainwashed her. But if Becky wants to bring Sasha, next week I'll bring a friend too. Charlotte.
Ooh.
It's getting laid down, y'all. Babe, hug life for life, yo. It's getting thrown down.
So, as I mentioned, Marcus Louis versus Sylvester LaForte was coming up next, but apparently they changed the rules on what's next, as Baron Corbin was out for his matchup versus generic Tony Briggs. The fans were counting along on how long the match was. Less than 20 seconds later, end of days, Baron Corbin wins.
No surprise here. Very quick match. They're doing squash matches with him. I'd like to see them, though, start extending him out a little more for us to be able to see what he can actually do.
He has one move.
Uh-huh.
Let's see a few more.
Granted, it's an impressive move, but it's one move.
It's one move. He's not Goldberg. Anyway.
No.
Marcus Louis versus Sylvester LaForte. Louis came right down and fought. Both men trade shots. LaForte trash gets shoved down into the mat. Louis lays in shots. LaForte tries to call it ring. The announcer is pointing over how much of a coward LaForte is. Louis screamed about his hair and how you did this to me. And then he slammed him with a rock bottom style move for the win. You're a winner, Marcus Louis.
Is it me, or is Marcus Louis bald, look like a younger, skinnier version of Kane?
Maybe.
Am I the only one that sees that?
I think.
Like, every time, especially when he does, like, his angry face.
I would have to. Now that I know that's what you're thinking, I'll have to look out for it next time.
Yeah, just take a look at him, especially when he's angry. And he looks like a younger version of Kane. To a degree. It's kind of scary.
Kind of scary. All right, I'll have to look out for that. So, yeah, Louis with the win. We then go backstage, and, well, we had some talk.
I'm tired of the attention. 2-on-1 attack. I'm not leaving. You want to fight? I bring a friend next week.
He bring friend next week. Who is friend? We find out next week.
I sure hope he's a prince.
We'll have to find out next week. Main event time. Sami Zayn, Titus O'Neil rematch from a couple weeks ago. Basically, power match from Titus O'Neil throwing Zayn around a lot. Threw him out to his outside for a bunch. You know, it took him some time to get back in and yada, yada, yada. Again, it was sort of the same match we've seen from Titus O'Neil and Sami Zayn a couple weeks ago in the same match we saw last week with Adrian Neville. They only changed it with the count-out part of it. We were trying to beat the count. Zayn would always fight back, but always get powered back. Zayn finally got back into it after the bear hug and being tossed out of the ring. Comes back, top rope. Drops on the top rope, connects with the crossbody for a two count. Titus missed the clothesline, but hit a second one for a two count. He then hooks Zayn for a crucifix backbreaker for a two count. Titus then drags Zayn, tosses him into the corner. You can see at this point, Titus was winded because he really didn't toss him that far. And then charged at him in the corner. Zayn caught him and delivered an impressive exploder suplex in the corner. And then hit the Huluva kick for the win. You're a winner, Sami Zayn. So the road to the redemption continues. Hopefully this is the end of Titus O'Neil in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, Titus is an amazing person, but I think, like I said last week, I think he can be utilized elsewhere in the company and serve a much greater purpose than what he's doing right now. I think he would be a wonderful spokesman, you know, especially for the Be a Star campaigns, for when they do the breast cancer research stuff, because he has a connection to that. You know, just really any general cause, because he is so well-spoken, and he does command your attention, and people will listen to him. And he just, I think in that instance, he would be much better served than what he's doing right now. Because this was just, yeah. Because he's trying to be all arrogant and cocky, and he's just not. That's not who he is. You can tell. That's just not him. Mm-hmm. You know, he is in real life a very, very humble individual who enjoys giving back to the community, and it's something of, if you let him be that person, just turn that up in terms of be kind of that ultimate good guy, that could possibly help him out, as opposed to having him be a cocky heel, because it just doesn't work.
Now you bring up cocky and arrogance. Well, this happened.
And there is Tyler Breeze. Hold on there, Sammy. Do you really think that you get a title shot because you beat a couple of uggos like Tyson and Titus? It doesn't work that way. If you really want to be number one contender, well, you've got to beat the one person that you've never beat. Prince Pretty. And I've already talked to William Regal, and he said that your little road to redemption, well, it's taking a detour down into Cuteville. And next week, Sammy, it's going to be you against the gorgeous one, Tyler Breeze.
Spot the fangirl in that segment.
Yeah.
That should be a good match.
Should be a good match, and if you listen to commentary from a couple weeks ago, they kind of spoiled the ending. Because, yeah. They got themselves confused a couple weeks ago.
Yep, and they didn't edit it out.
Nope, someone missed it, the ball on that one. But anyway, solid show tonight. I'm over Titus. And, yeah. No really great match on the show, but solid matches all around, character development, and the vaudevillains. They're the number one contenders. I think that's the big news out of this tonight's show. We're building towards NXT TakeOver Evolution, basically.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week and seeing how it's handled. And I want to hear how the crowd handles it, because, yeah, I have a feeling they exploded.
Yeah, I think so.
But I say we take our second break of the evening. What do you think?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
So, all right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have Tweet of the Week. We're going to have our discussion all about Hell in a Cell and who won and who lost and who finally showed the hell back up. And we also have our question of the night. So you guys don't want to miss that because, well, the spooktacular is going to continue. And by spooktacular, more music. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Boo-ha-ha-ha.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost and Jarvis! Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down hit the Dusty Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you're just joining us, we are in the middle of our Halloween spooktacular because, yes, it is almost Halloween. It is nearly upon us. Yay! And now we're going to jump right into Tweet of the Week.
A person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more. No more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I'll minor AJ Lee.
Okay.
So, I'm going to change the world, but first, I'd like a nap.
That sounds like you a lot.
Uh-huh. If I had a nickel for every Snaggletooth-related injury I've given myself.
Again...
I just heard a woman exclaim, "Let's get a muffin!" with unadulterated excitement. She gets this thing called life. I want to meet this woman.
It sounded like you again.
I'm on commentary during SmackDown's Diva Halloween Battle Royal. I'm fairly certain only 20% of what I said is fit for air.
Take away the SmackDown part?
Yeah. She's my spirit animal. I know. Just saying. So anyway, that's all I got.
So remember last week when I had not many?
You have a ton this week?
And then you said, just wait for football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, see, I know you.
And a certain quarterback happened.
Oh, yes. Proceed.
But first, Bailey, dear NXT Women's Championship, I'll be back for you. I promise. Right after I show Becky Lynch what a huge mistake she made.
Get her, Bailey. Get her.
Sports Nation, 1:27 p.m. Geno Smith already has 2 interceptions. Fake John Madden. Percy Harvin injured. Geno Smith with 2 interceptions. In other words, life is normal in Jetsland. Rich Eisen. The Harvin era, in quotations, has started with 3 straight interceptions. Unreal. Sports Nation. 3 interceptions. Running out of Geno Smith jokes. Fake Sports Center. Geno Smith shattering records that the experts thought would never be broken. Numbers never lie. Geno Smith has 1 interception. No, cross that out. 2 interceptions. No, cross that out. 3 interceptions. Ed Warder. At least Geno Smith can tackle. Mike Hill. Can Percy play quarterback too? Geno is struggling. M-E-S-S. Mess. Hashtag Jets. Fake John Madden. Breaking. Percy Harvin in locker room frantically calling Pete Carroll to apologize. You want it out now. You see what you got. Matt Goldrich. Once the Big Bang Theory returns, the Jets will no longer be CBS's biggest comedy. not NFL Live. I can't believe it took the Jets this long to bench Geno Smith, said Geno Smith. The fake ESPN. Geno Smith handing out footballs to Bills defense like candy to trick-or-treaters. Mike Hill, looks like Vic is actually prepared this week. Hashtag Jets. Iron Cheek. What of Michael Vick dead dog play better than the Geno Smith?
Ouch.
Sports Nation. Touchdown Jets. Vic looks like a Hall of Famer compared to Geno. All a part of Rex Ryan's master plan. This is a tweet from the NFL. Sammy Watkins is GOAT. Tackled short out the end zone. Hashtag Buffalo versus the Jets. So if you're not aware what happened to Sammy Watkins, so he caught this really nice pass from Kyle Orton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's running down the field, and he gets about the 7-yard line, starts celebrating, thinking no one's going to tackle him, and then he gets tackled. And he's looking at the scoreboard, and he couldn't see the guy coming for him. He got tackled like at the 5-yard line. It was tremendous.
Oops.
Mike Greenberg, member of Sammy Watkins, run. Fox Sports, or NFL and Fox Other. Sammy Watkins to the house. Wait. Fake ESPN, if Geno Smith came down with Ebola, there'd be no need for him to be quarantined because it's impossible to catch something from him. Jason Gay, wow, tough 38-7 loss for Chicago and New England. Wait, it's halftime? Yeah, it was only halftime. Fake ESPN, a Build-A-Bear workshop could do a better job of stopping Tom Brady than the Bears defense. Bob Vitrone Jr., penalty on the Gatorade table, because Jeremy Macklin sort of slid on it. Deuces Rogers, was Macklin trying to break the Spanish announce table? Possibly. Michelle Beadle, Gatorade, you've been given a beautiful gift. I'm Jeremy Macklin. Gatorade makes me awesome. Pours drink all over himself. Hashtag touchdowns. Headlocked, you know, former guest of the show, Mike Kingston, goes, if I was Nikki Bella, I'd be upset at Triple H's assertion that Randy Orton finishes John Cena better than anyone else. WWE creative-ish. The big swerve here is that Mark Henry can fit comfortably in jeans. Hashtag Hell in a Cell. Paul Domwich. Las Vegas giving 100-1 odds on Tony Romo being able to be out of bed tomorrow morning. Sports Nation. For at least one day, Colt McCoy better than Tony Romo. Hashtag absurd NFL predictions. Not Bill Walton. Tony Romo came up short in crunch time and the Cowboys lose. November must be right around the corner. Ruben Frank. Why isn't Jerry Jones jumping up and down and clapping his hands anymore? Not Bill Walton. YOLO equals you only live once. Romo, really overpaid and most overrated. Ethan Carter III, hoping for a draw and a lot of injuries in this match. Hashtag tag semi. Jeremy Boris replied, you continue to straddle the perfect balance of delusion and absurdity. Rockstar Spud replied, ignore him, JB. Spud is not happy. But EC3 replied, Jeremy Borash, as Impact Wrestling's most loyal employee, I expect a more professional/logical approach to your superiors. Hashtag Impact on Spike. Sports Facts from Michael Ian Black. Every World Series of the modern era has been decided by the most runs scored per game. Follow this account for more sports facts. He is true, you know. He is right. And finally, breaking, not SportsCenter, Michael Madison Bumgarner named World Series MVP, NL MVP, NL Cy Young, AL MVP, AL Cy Young, MLB Commissioner, Governor of California, and the Pope. Because he was awesome. So that's Tweet of the Week.
You had a lot.
I did. I told you I did.
He's been busy. This is why he has a cap.
Geno Smith happened.
Yes, I know, but you don't have to favorite everything.
I didn't. That's the thing.
Okay.
They were really ragging on Geno Smith on Sunday because he threw 3 interceptions in like 7 minutes.
I know. I think it's the curse of the Jets, honestly.
Bring back Tim. No.
No, don't bring him back. So do we want to do Question of the Night first, or do we want to do Hell in a Cell first?
Let's do Hell in a Cell first.
All right. So Hell in a Cell. Stuff happened.
The pre-show, Mark Henry beat Bo Dallas. or in his case, Bo Washington.
No. Get it right. He did not beat him. He just beat on him, and then he killed him. Get it right.
Mark Henry killed the world's strongest man, Bo Washington.
Yes, because he was ashamed that he was in Dallas and they had, you know, certain problems there. And so for one night, he's changing his name from Dallas to Washington.
And you know how a certain somebody was you know, taking shots at Bo Dallas for taking shots at being from at Dallas?
Uh-huh.
About the Washington game? Man, did that backfire on that dude.
Just a little bit.
Man. Anyway, Bo's after the match said, Mark Henry cheated. He wasn't ready in the record books. It is 5-0 because Mark Henry cheated.
Oh, Bo, you're adorable. As he's, like, limping away.
He's basically not even limping away. He's, like, all, like, round.
Crawling.
Like, crawling
yeah,
away.
He's yeah, he's crawling away.
So we then move to the main show. It's Intercontinental Championship Best 2 out of 3 Falls. Ziggler versus Cesaro. They had the first fall, Ziggler picked the victory after the giant swing and then into the small package. Ziggler picked it up. And then they had a really good, intense second fall. There was a nice superplex spot in the match. But the finish saw Ziggler with an armbreaker, super kick, zigzag combination, picking up the win in 2 straight falls. Kind of surprising.
It really kind of was, and there was a lot of speculation that Ziggler might have gotten hurt in this match.
Yeah, they were talking about how he might have been hurt, and you know, people speculated, oh, Cesaro lost because he opened his mouth. No, not really. It's just sort of where they're going with Cesaro. I say this was a good opener. I was surprised that it only went 2 falls, though. I figured we would have got 3, but...
Well, and I think that's what a lot of people expect. And a lot of people are waiting for.
Yeah, and Vince likes to do this where he goes 2 straight falls and end the match because it catches people off guard, and it does. It caught me off guard because in my notes, I still have the 3rd fall written, and it never happened.
Right.
Our next contest of the evening, Nikki versus Brie. The loser is the elder's assistant for 30 days. And these two girls had a pretty good match.
There was a lot of really intense back and forth between these two. You know, obviously they're siblings, so they're, you know, going to beat on each other just a little bit, which is awesome.
It was awesome. There was one scary spot. So Nikki gets tumped to the outside, and Brie does the dive through the ropes. She came about 6 inches short and sort of landed on Nikki, on her leg. Mm-hmm. On her leg. It was scary a little bit.
Just a touch,
but Nikki was able to recover, came back, hit a big forearm like she did at SummerSlam, and then hit the rack attack for the win. Your winner, Nikki Bella, which means Brie is now the assistant for 30 days.
Oh, darn.
Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen Gold and Stardust against the Usos?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, you were in luck because they were our next contest for the tag team titles. Man, they had this epic encounter that you've never, ever seen. Well, wait. You've seen many times. But there was a nice stereo suplex spot by them in the match. The finish saw Stardust kick the knee of an Uso when he was going for a Samoan drop, allowing Goldust hit his move, the spinning suplex thing, for the win. To retain the titles, Goldust and Stardust. Pretty good match. Again, it's what you expect out of these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, very, very, very competitive match, as always. Very good, very enjoyable to watch. I'm just a little kind of tired of it at this point. And, you know, the babies could reunite and storm the tag team division. That's if Luke, you know, ever gets his head on straight and stops using a really crappy face southern accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get into that, too, next week.
Next week, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Once we know more.
It's Luke Harper, southern accent, honey, you're from the north. You don't have one of those. Unless you stole Bray's, at which point you can't. That's his.
That's his.
But, Yeah, I think, again, very good match, very competitive. You can always rely on it to be good. I just would like to see more, and I wish they would go back to expanding out the tag division again and giving us more competition in that division. Because it's like there for a while, they had a big tag division, and then they did what they always did. People got hot in teams, and they split the teams up.
Yeah, I mentioned this on Sunday. If you remember the pre-show for WrestleMania, there were four teams. Matadors, Rybacksel, We the People, the Real Americans, and the Usos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only two of those teams left.
Yeah. Just for round two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're split now, too, so.
Yeah, so. So there you go, Goldust and Stardust, free team. Up next, the Hell in a Cell, first part of the double main events, Randy Orton and John Cena. They had a pretty good match. I said this on the outset, it's now. If you first time seeing these two, they had a really, really good match. We've seen it, though. It's a good Hell in a Cell, a lot better than a lot of ones I've seen lately. Had a good match. We had some violence. Some attempts at violence with the cage. Where Lindsay thought they were very weak.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I quote, that's not how you spoon each other. And finally, Randy got John's wood. This was our commentary to each other as we were watching the match.
Yep.
Yeah.
Both those came from me, by the way. In case you didn't figure that out. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's there were points in the match where it's like you're good. They're going to hit each other and it's very weak. Like they're just sort of kind of playing at it. And when you watch Hell in a Cell, you sort of expect a certain level of physicality between the two individuals and just sort of doing your casual, backhands isn't really going to fly. It's something of, especially with in comparison to the other one, which we'll get to. It just wasn't, I think, as good as it could have been.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you think about the rivalry between these two, it's like there should be this really heated moment that's going into Hell in a Cell, and I think they've gone into it before.
2009.
And so they're going into it again, and it's like, well, you could bring a little bit of that intensity with you, but guess they decided not to.
Though, after 12 years, Randy Orton finally figured it out. John Cena likes to do shoulder blocks. RKO.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice spot.
That was a really nice spot.
Same thing out of the AA. He hit an RKO, which made people go, wait, what? Was that an AA or the RKO? Couldn't really tell because you landed the same way, but it was actually the RKO. Finish saw Randy Orton getting AA'd off the top rope through a table. You're a winner, John Cena. He's now the number one contender for Brock's title.
Wait, I'm so shocked.
In the match where me and Lindsay laughed for about 7 to 10 minutes straight, Sheamus versus The Miz.
Oh my god. Damien Sandow, I love you. I want to have your kittens.
This is basically, we basically sat here and laughed at Miz Dow for the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all our notes on this one. We laughed. And laughed a lot. Sheamus won. Bro kick as Miz came from the top rope. It's the finish. Miz Dow was awesome. And then... So after the match, Miz Dow is the stunt double, right? So he does everything. So he's lying there next to Miz on the mat, right?
Right.
So Sheamus picks up the arm Miz, and Miz now lifts his up, and then Miz falls down. Does that a few times, then sort of lifts him up in the air, right? And so you see Miz now, he's just sort of there, hanging there, in like he's being held up and all that fun stuff. And then, well, the moment of the night. We played YMCA with The Miz and Sandow.
Which was amazing. This is the point where Sheamus is like, screw it, I'm going to have fun.
So you had him doing YMCA with The Miz, and Sheamus and Sandow was doing the same thing.
It was genius.
Here goes. It was tremendous, and the crowd was chanting YMCA along with it. It was tremendous. Then we had our next contest, the Big Show versus Rusev. It was an alright match. Better than a Raw match. Big Show passed out or tapped out, no matter what, depends on how you want to put it.
Cole got the call wrong on this one.
Yeah, he did. It looked like Big Show passed out, not tapped out. But Big Show passes out in the Accolade. Solid match. Nothing really to say other than Mark Henry slapped the ass of Big Show at one point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all right. That was the thing. Like, it was just all right.
But you know what was awesome?
What?
The Lunatic Fringe. Dean Ambrose.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Dean Ambrose.
Earlier today, I was asked about my Hell in a Cell match tonight with Seth Rollins, and only one thing came to mind. Halloween. Here in the States, Halloween is this Friday. The most popular costume this year, the Seth Rollins. Because when I'm done with Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell tonight, he's going to look like a zombie from The Walking Dead, had sex with Dracula's grandmother 9 months later. She gave birth to something that looked like a combination of roadkill and oatmeal on top of a pogo stick. You know what I'm saying? You understand me? It means I don't give a damn. Tonight, Mr. Money in the Bank pays the price for his actions, and we both burn in hell.
Roadkill and oatmeal on top of a pogo stick.
The Walking Dead had sex with Dracula's grandmother. That was the point where I lost it. It's like, oh my god, you crazy bastard. Things he can't get away with on TV that he will on the network.
For only $9.99.
And you know he's saying it really fast because he knows he's about to get cut off. You could tell, like, he's getting through it really, really quickly so they don't stop him.
Yeah. There was also a backstage bit with Bray and Nikki where she brought her her drink. And then Brie got it dumped all over her. And then was told to make a new one. AJ Lee and Paige for the Divas Championship. Alicia Fox pushed Paige back into the ring. And then Paige tapped out to the Black Widow. AJ Lee retains the Divas Championship. Good match between the girls. Not as good as some of the other previous encounters, but it was a good match.
I would agree. Very solid match, but I'd like to see... Again, more competition.
Let's move them apart a little bit and come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may be heading in that direction. Main event time, the match everyone paid to see, including myself and Lindsay, the only match we really, 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 really wanted to see. And we sat here the entire time going, Dean, no. Dean, no. Dean, no.
You sat here saying it. I sat here yelling it. I was yelling it at the screen going, oh my god, Dean, no. Dean... Dean, get down!
So, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Dean went right to the top. He threw a bunch of chairs into the cell and then went right to the top. So it's like, okay, he's putting the chairs down there because if the thing breaks, the chairs would break his fall, maybe?
It was more like he goes up to the top and it's, oh my god, they're actually going to let him go up. Oh Jesus, somebody's going to die. Like, you just knew right off the bat, the second Dean got up there... It was going down.
Yeah. Seth Rollins wanted no part of going up there right away, but then he told the cruiserweights to go up, and they were like,
hell no.
And then they eventually went up, and then Dean pulled out his stick and smacked them with it, and Rollins got up there, and then all hell broke loose, and it was like, oh my god, this cage is going to break. Oh my god, the cage is going to break.
Somebody's going to fall. Oh no.
But then Seth Rollins climbs down. They're climbing down the side of the cell. And then, headbutt later, Seth goes through the Spanish announce table. Dean goes through the USA announce table. And, they went kaplammy through the tables.
You know they wanted to do that just to satisfy their inner dorks to say that they had both gone off the Hell in the Cell?
Yeah, they did the Sean bump off the cell.
They did the Foley and Taker at the start, and they did the Sean bump, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting.
You know it was serious when JBL moved his hat.
Yeah, you know when JBL just picks up his hat and steps out of the way, somebody's going through a table.
Right, because it's not like, oh, I'm just going to move my hat. No, he clearly moved his hat all the way. So they both were on stretchers, and they eventually got back. Dean eventually got off the stretcher and dragged Seth back into the cell, and they made a brawl. He started smacking around with chairs and stuff. We had a couple table spots, including one where the table was sort of hanging off the side, on the side of the cage, or between the cage and the ring. And, like, Seth was, like, got backdropped and was sliding down the table, and Dean did the elbow drop onto the table. I was like, ow.
Dean had fun in this match, you could tell.
He did. Then business picked up, because finally, he's been tired of doing it forever. Kane came out to put out a fire, this time with a fire extinguisher. He put the fire extinguisher in the face of Dean Ambrose, and then Dean Ambrose got powerbombed into a table, and then got beat on with a chair, curb stomped, kicked out. He was going to be curb stomped again, got up, whacked Seth around a little bit, laid him out with a big clothesline, and then Dean decides, let's go underneath the ring, shall we? And he pulls out two cinder blocks. Now, he pulled out two. There was a real one, and then there was one he just sort of tossed around.
Yeah, they did a nice job of at least trying to make it look convincing, but you could tell the real from the fake.
Yeah, there was a split in the fake one.
No, there wasn't the split in the fake one. There was a split.
Yeah, whatever. Same
in the real one.
Whatever. But you saw how he just sort of manhandled one and not the other. So as he is ready to curb stomp Seth Rollins into the cinder block, somebody showed up. And who would that have been?
That would be Bray Wyatt. Actually, no. Technically, it goes dark. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. Then we start hearing Latin.
Actually, it wasn't Latin.
What was it?
An old promo of Bray's played backwards.
Even better. Even better.
But yeah, so screen goes black. The promo was heard. And then the lantern's in the ring. And a hologram shows up.
With smoke shooting up behind it. Like, he got Taker magic.
The Taker magic.
He just not only got magics, he got the Taker level magic. I screamed so loud I woke up the goddamn house.
Legit. I heard the scream. Because while we were talking. And by the way, I was right. Bray Wyatt showed up, laid out Dean Ambrose with his version of the Rock Bottom. Seth Rollins took over. Okay, 1, 2, 3. He quickly grabbed the briefcase and got out the ring. Sister Abigail to Dean Ambrose. And that's Hell in a Cell.
I know a lot of people
hated it.
We're pissed about the ending. We're going to get into the ending in a minute. I kind of want to go back and talk about the actual match, because this match was really neat to see, because in going back and watching it, you see elements of Taker Sean, of Taker Foley, mm-hmm. and several other very influential Hell in the Cell matches over the years in this one match. And you can tell that Dean and Seth had gone back and watched video of all the old matches and had determined, okay, this is what we want to do, this is how we want to do it. And I'm not sure whether it was to pay homage, I'm not sure whether they just thought it was cool, I'm not sure why they did it like they did it, but it was really neat to see them go up, to see really anybody go up on the top of the cell and fight on top of the cell, and you get that moment where they take the bump off the side of the cell, because it's actually a lot taller than it used to be.
20 feet,
and so they where they took the bump, it actually, I think, was about where the height of the old one was.
No, just about, yeah. What where you really saw the how big it is, when Noble and Mercury were climbing a cage, you saw how big this cage was.
Yeah, it's massive.
And the one other spot where Seth Rollins dropped the cane down, it took a few seconds for the cane to drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, massive kudos to them for going for it like they did, and going off the side and going on top.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked how they did this one. I liked the violence in it. There was just enough to where you got a sense for it.
It wasn't too over the top.
Yeah, it wasn't too much. It was literally just enough. Nobody bled, but, you know, it's something of, if you're going to do a Hell in a Cell without blood, this is kind of the way that you do it. Where there's a lot of violence, but it's not to the point that anybody's necessarily needing to bleed.
It was protected violence, it was safe, but it was very physical, and you had enough crazy in there, enough little shenanigans, that it made it memorable.
Yeah. And this is something that this is in Dean's wheelhouse. He's done hardcore matches for years, he was in CZW, he understands how to do all this. Seth has probably done his fair share. He understands it as well. So it's something of, you have two real ring veterans getting in there, being able to put together something really, really masterful. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, because I know a lot of people were pissed about the ending. I'm not one of those people.
No.
I agree that Dean and Seth will need to get a finish at some point. I don't think, though, that now was the right moment, or Sunday was the right moment to have that happen. And the reason being is because you're moving Seth on to Orton, and you're moving Dean on to Bray Wyatt, and you really need to have both of them looking strong, especially Dean, because Bray Wyatt is returning, and they're going to be booking Bray very strongly. So you need to have Dean already in that position, ready to go, so when Bray comes in, they're set. And then on the flip side of that, they've been booking Orton strong, mm-hmm. and you need to have Seth in that same strong position, which he's also been booked strong, but a loss to Dean in Hell in the Cell would hurt him.
It would have sent him back, since he's being portrayed as the number one heel on TV right now. And there's a lot of people, you know, Dean needed the win, and I agree, he needed the win. But he didn't really lose anything. He was more made. And, you know, if he beat Seth Rollins, where does Dean Ambrose go from there? There was legit no one for him to advance to.
Right. And I think Dean did himself more favors in the match by how they did it, and losing in the fashion that he did, than what winning for him in a less kind of spectacular match would have done, if that makes sense.
I agree with you on that point. And it's like, it was very made clear on Monday where Dean's position is, because of a juggernaut that's returning at some point. Dean's in a position where he's not going to be the guy. So it's clear he's not the guy. But he's in a position to have a really good feud with the second, third heel on the roster right now. And that's a good position to be in. So a lot of people are upset about it, but there's really no reason to be upset, because, again, you can do Dean and Seth again, and you will at some point.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those rivalries that's going to span their whole career. This is, you know, John and Randy. This is Hunter and Rock. When you think of those really epic rivalries between wrestlers, where it spans their entire career, that's what Dean and Seth is going to be. And they're going to go back to the well on this multiple times. So if you go ahead and you have Dean or Seth win cleanly at this point, you can't go back to it for a little while.
Right.
So the thing is you... Sorry.
No, I was just saying, you're right.
So it's like, the thing is if you go back to it, if you cool it off a little bit, you can go back to it, say, Mania season. You can go back to it in the summer. You can keep going back to that well for as many times as you want to until you decide to give Dean or Seth that win. And then you separate them out for a couple years. And then you can, again, go back to it and let it heat back up. But it's something that they're trying to buy their time because they know people will pay to see that match. And they will more specifically pay to see who beats whom in that rivalry for the first time.
And the point of the match was Dean got his hands on Seth Rollins and he beat on him for a very long time. He got his revenge. He didn't get the win, but he got his revenge.
Yeah, I think the important thing to take away from this was Dean Ambrose didn't care about winning. He didn't walk into Hell in a Cell to win Hell in a Cell. He walked into Hell in a Cell to get Seth Rollins.
His goal was to hurt Seth Rollins.
And he did.
Yes. He didn't finish him off, but he got a pretty good chunk of Seth Rollins' ass on Sunday.
Yeah, he got his pound of flesh. That's for damn sure. So, and in terms of the Bray stuff, I thought it was a fantastic way to bring him back, to reintroduce him, basically, you know, as Rock kind of put it when we were talking. They re-debuted Bray Wyatt last Sunday, where it's very clear he's going in a much darker direction.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of happy-go-lucky,
friendly
cult leader that we sort of saw is going away, and now we're kind of getting to see what Bray Wyatt's really like. And what's interesting is when he came back and when he attacked Ambrose, he got some cheers, but when he attacked Ambrose, he got boos.
Yeah, they started singing a little bit, but the singing turned down into some boos at the end, and that's what you want. He's going to go away from some of the happy-go-lucky singing stuff and sort of be more darkish and get the boost that he's needed to be the second, third heel on the roster. But the lights were still there, which was awesome.
I love the screen caps of it because there really was nothing more spectacular than to see all the lights surrounding the ring and then the smoke shooting up out of the ring with the hologram and the lantern. There was just nothing cooler than to see that because, like I said, Bray's got the Taker magic, and that was really kind of a Taker moment.
It was, and I made this point to Lindsay, I think, on Monday. There's a new urn. It's called the Lantern.
Yep. I would agree with that. It's, you know, Bray has the Lantern. Was that Abigail? Was that just a random spirit? What was that we saw? Whatever it was, it served as enough of a distraction to get Bray Wyatt in the ring and get him to attack Dean. But yeah, I think what we need to take away from this is Death. Seth and Dean had a fantastic match together. They gave us a hell of a fight, and now they're moving on to two really big feuds. And I think everybody should be happy with that.
I agree with you there, and hopefully people sort of come around to it. On the whole, I would say this was a B- pay-per-view, because the main event was tremendous.
I would go with a B, just because a lot of it was solely built around Dean and Seth, which I don't have a problem with at all. It was an absolutely fantastic match, but for me, there just wasn't enough on the undercard to necessarily hold my interest some.
That makes sense. But again, the main event was what we came to see, and we got a great main event out of it, and that's what we really, really wanted. And in the end, we both finished 6-2.
Although I win because he declared I won, so.
I had to declare that you won, yeah.
Yeah. I won.
It was a stipulation in the contract.
It's more like he conceded.
Early.
Yeah, early.
Like after two matches, I can see that, that she was kind of, she was right more than she was wrong.
Hey, I got a she was right out of you. I want a clip of it. No, he slip up.
I've said it multiple times.
I know. And one day I will get a clip of that.
Anyway, our question tonight is, if you go trick-or-treating with one wrestler, who would you go with? And before we get our answers, we've got Bailey, Boogeyman, Alicia Fox for reasons, a couple other Boogeyman. What about, I believe there's a Dean Ambrose thrown in there at one point, so what about you? Where are you leaning?
Eric Rowan.
Why Eric Rowan?
He's big, he's tall, he has a mask already, so his costume's good, he can carry lots of candy, and he has the mind of a child. So he would totally be down for trick-or-treating.
I thought, okay, Eugene would be interesting as a character. Oh man, Eugene and Eric Rowan together. Huh.
Oh, the shenanigans.
Oh, the shenanigans. I thought, oh, back in the heyday, Sean and Hunter. Sean doesn't like the piece of candy he gets. Super kicks the adult. Those are the two I thought DX or Eugene would be fun. But Eric Rowan, I can't top Eric Rowan. Because he, if no one comes, he's very, very sad.
Poor Eric.
He sits and just sits and waits for Luke to show up to take him trick-or-treating.
So and Luke never comes.
Luke never comes. Damn it, Luke.
Yeah, again, Luke kind of made his re-debut, or they're starting to do vignettes for him on Main Event. They have not done anything yet for Eric. I'm a little worried about Eric, so if anybody has seen him...
Send us his information, contact@rockradioshow.com.
Yeah, and if WWE is listening, I would like to adopt Eric Rowan, so please just, you know, again, use the same link. Get in contact with me. Thanks.
So there you go. That's I would say this is spectacular.
I would say that is the spectacular, so let's wrap things up and get on out of here.
So the Rack Extras will come next week. So check out episode 9 and 10 next week at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. We're a little bit behind schedule this week. So tune in next week for those. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. It's the annual fall back special. Why? Because we gain an hour on Saturday night. So you gain that extra hour of sleep. So get ready. It's CB Radio fall back special. Saturday night, midnight-ish. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebutts and bandanas. Check out the website CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Most likely is Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega, covering the week in pro wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. We'll be back on Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, and right back here next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out our YouTube channel, subscribe. Our interviews are up there. More content is coming. Go to YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe. Share it with your friends. Tell them to subscribe, because that helps us. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter. Of course, listen to The Rack every Thursday nights, you know, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we wrap up the show. Listen to The Rack Extra. And don't forget our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling stop-motion action figure needs. Still not right, but whatever. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're going to head out. Hope you've enjoyed the spooktacular, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Ha 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 ha.
Happy Halloween.
They played the Monster Mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?"
WildTalkRadio.com.